Welcome to the Space News Weekly Brief, where we bring you the latest updates, groundbreaking developments, and key insights shaping the future of space exploration and technology. I'm your host, AI Michelle, and this is a Magic Pod production by Podcast AI. Here are our top stories today. First, NASA is gearing up to launch an asteroid-hunting spacecraft in 2027. Second, a next-generation water satellite is mapping the seafloor from space. Third, SpaceX is set to break a rocket reuse record with its upcoming launch of U.S. spy satellites. Fourth, NASA is planning the next Boeing Starliner test flight following the return of astronauts. Fifth, NASA defends its decisions concerning astronauts, emphasizing that they were never stranded. Sixth, footage surfaces of a NASA astronaut flying untethered to capture a satellite, offering a tense viewing experience. Lastly, scientists report that dark energy, a mysterious cosmic force, appears to be weakening. In mission updates, NASA has announced the upcoming launch of the NEO Surveyor in 2027, a spacecraft specifically designed to hunt for large asteroids and comets that could potentially pose a threat to Earth. This groundbreaking mission aims to spot about 90% of hazardous near-Earth objects within a range of 30 million miles using advanced infrared technology. The NEO Surveyor is being built at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. It is equipped to measure the size and composition of fast-moving objects that are otherwise nearly impossible to see from Earth, especially those smaller than about 500 feet in diameter. Tom Hoffman, the NEO Surveyor project manager, highlighted the importance of this mission, stating, "We're looking for near-Earth objects. Those are the objects that are within the same sort of orbit as the Earth. And the reason we want to look for those is some of those have the potential to impact the Earth." The announcement of the NEO Surveyor comes as the European Space Agency and NASA have significantly lowered the odds of a potential strike by asteroid 2024 YR4, which will safely pass by Earth in 2032. This spacecraft represents a critical step forward in ensuring Earth's safety from potential asteroid threats. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory has made significant strides in mapping the ocean floor from space with the next-generation water satellite, SWOT, or Surface Water and Ocean Topography. This satellite, a collaboration between NASA and the French space agency CNES, has provided one of the most detailed maps of the seafloor to date. Located off the coast of Ecuador, the Paramount Seamount is an example of ocean floor features that satellites like SWOT can detect. These features influence the sea surface through their gravitational pull. More accurate maps derived from SWOT data can enhance underwater navigation and deepen our understanding of how heat and life move through the ocean. While we have better maps of the Moon's surface than Earth's ocean floor, efforts have been underway for decades to change this. The SWOT mission marks a significant advancement in this endeavor. Ships equipped with sonar instruments have surveyed only about 25% of the ocean floor. In contrast, satellite data offers a more comprehensive view. Accurate seafloor maps are crucial for various maritime activities, including navigation, laying underwater communication cables, and even rare mineral seabed mining. Nadia Vinogradova-Schiffer, head of physical oceanography programs at NASA headquarters, emphasized that seafloor mapping is vital for optimizing shipping routes, hazard detection, and seabed warfare operations. The SWOT satellite's primary mission is not seafloor mapping, but measuring the height of water on Earth's surface, including oceans, lakes, reservoirs, and rivers. By analyzing these height differences, researchers can create topographic maps of fresh and seawater surfaces, which can then be used to assess sea ice changes and track flood progressions. David Sandwell, a geophysicist at Scripps Institution of Oceanography, highlighted the SWOT satellite's ability to detect smaller seafloor features, such as seamounts less than half the height of those previously detectable by other satellites. This capability could potentially increase the number of known seamounts from 44,000 to 100,000. The data from SWOT also offers insights into the geologic history of Earth. Abyssal hills, which cover about 70% of the ocean floor, are now more observable thanks to SWOT's precise measurements. These hills, formed by tectonic plate movements, influence deep sea currents and tides, affecting the distribution of nutrients and marine life. While SWOT cannot fully replace ship-based sonar mapping, it complements international efforts to map the entire seafloor by 2030. Sandwell noted that although the complete ship-based mapping might not be achieved by then, SWOT significantly contributes to this goal, bringing us closer to a comprehensive understanding of the ocean floor. In tech advances, SpaceX has set a new record for rocket reuse with its Falcon 9 launch on March 21st. This launch, part of the NROL-57 mission for the United States National Reconnaissance Office, took place at Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. The Falcon 9 rocket lifted off at 2:49 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, making it the quickest turnaround for a Falcon 9 booster with just over 9 days between flights. This beats the previous record of a 14-day turnaround. The Falcon 9's first stage had previously launched the SpheREx Space Telescope and Punch Solar Probes for NASA on March 11th. After launching the NROL-57 mission, the first stage successfully returned to Earth, landing at Vandenberg approximately 7.5 minutes after liftoff. This marked the fourth mission for this particular booster. The NROL-57 mission is part of the National Reconnaissance Office's new proliferated architecture, which emphasizes deploying numerous smaller satellites for enhanced capability and resilience. Although details remain classified, it's believed these satellites, known as Starshield, are modified versions of SpaceX's Starlink broadband satellites, adapted for reconnaissance purposes. The successful reuse of the Falcon 9 rocket not only highlights SpaceX's advancements in rocket technology, but also underscores the growing trend of rapid, cost-effective space launches. This mission continues the collaboration between SpaceX and the National Reconnaissance Office, with previous launches having occurred between May 2024 and January 2025. In human spaceflight news, NASA is gearing up for the next phase of testing, with Boeing's Starliner spacecraft following the return of astronauts Barry Butch Wilmore and Sunita Suni Williams from the International Space Station. The agency has announced that the upcoming Starliner mission will be an uncrewed test flight, aiming to validate the modifications made to the spacecraft's propulsion system. Steve Stick, the Commercial Crew Program Manager, outlined NASA's strategy for the Starliner, stating, "What we'd like to do is that one flight and then get into a crew rotation flight. This approach is designed to ensure the spacecraft's readiness for future crewed missions by rigorously testing its thrusters and addressing previous issues like helium leaks and thruster failures that extended the last crewed mission from 8 days to over 9 months." The upcoming uncrewed test flight will focus on confirming that the Starliner's thrusters function correctly after the recent modifications. "The thing that we need to solidify and go test is the prop system in the service module," Steak explained. "We need to make sure we can eliminate the helium leaks, eliminate the service module thruster issues that we had on docking." Despite the next mission being uncrewed, Stick emphasized that the Starliner must be fully crew capable, indicating that all systems should be in place as if it were carrying astronauts. "Even if we were to fly the vehicle without a crew in the return, we want that to be crew capable," he said. "So, we wanted to have all the systems in place that we could fly a crew with." If successful, NASA hopes to certify the Starliner for routine missions to and from the International Space Station, diversifying its options alongside SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft. These efforts are part of NASA's broader Commercial Crew Program, which aims to utilize American rockets and spacecraft for transporting astronauts and cargo, ultimately preparing the agency for future Moon and Mars missions. In a recent development, NASA has been defending its decisions regarding astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, who were on the International Space Station for an extended period. Despite political narratives suggesting they were stranded, NASA officials have clarified that a safe return was always possible for the astronauts. The astronauts initially traveled to the ISS onboard Boeing's Starliner for what was supposed to be a short mission. However, due to technical challenges, including thruster failures and helium leaks, their stay was extended. NASA decided to return the Starliner without a crew and coordinated their return with SpaceX's Crew 9 mission. Steve Stick, NASA's Commercial Crew Program Manager, emphasized that they always had a contingency plan and could have brought the astronauts back at any time. He pointed out that the extension was part of the nature of test flights and highlighted the astronauts' resilience and adaptability during their prolonged stay. The situation underscored the importance of having multiple crew transportation systems, such as Boeing's Starliner and SpaceX's Dragon, to ensure flexibility and redundancy in human spaceflight. NASA officials reiterated that working with both commercial partners is crucial for their long-term goals in space exploration. In a gripping episode of space history, NASA astronaut Dale Gardner flew untethered in space to capture a satellite, a feat that was not for the faint-hearted. This daring maneuver was part of a mission to recover communication satellites that had been placed into incorrect orbits due to a rocket failure. Back in 1984, astronauts Dale Gardner and Joseph Allen embarked on a mission that required them to don spacesuits and use manned maneuvering units, or MMUs, to retrieve the Westar-6 and Palapa B-2 satellites. These satellites were crucial for communication and needed to be returned to Earth. The mission was a success, but not without its tense moments. Gardner and Allen took turns flying untethered to capture the satellites. Gardner's capture of Westar-6 is particularly memorable, showcasing the precision and bravery required to execute such a task while hurtling through space at nearly 18,000 miles per hour. NASA's plan involved astronaut Anna Fisher operating a remote manipulator system, or RMS, while Gardner and Allen maneuvered the MMUs. The meticulous coordination and execution of this plan allowed for the successful capture of the satellites, which were then secured in the payload bay of the Space Shuttle Discovery. The mission exemplified the courage and innovation inherent in space exploration. The footage of Gardner flying untethered remains a testament to the daring feats astronauts undertake to advance our capabilities in space. It also highlights the importance of teamwork and precise execution in overcoming the challenges of space missions. In cosmic discoveries, scientists have reported that dark energy, the mysterious force driving the universe's expansion, appears to be weakening. This finding, if confirmed, could revolutionize our understanding of the universe's fate. The survey, conducted by the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument Team at the Kitt Peak National Observatory in Arizona, suggests that dark energy might have peaked in strength billions of years ago and is now about 10% weaker. This revelation was announced at the American Physical Society's Global Physics Summit in Anaheim, California. Dark energy was first discovered in the late 1990s when astronomers observed distant supernova explosions, which indicated the universe's expansion was accelerating rather than slowing down as previously expected. This led to the theory of dark energy as a constant force, which would end the universe in a scenario known as the Big Freeze. However, the new findings challenge this view, suggesting dark energy is not constant and may be declining. This could imply that the universe's expansion might eventually reverse, leading to a big crunch scenario, where everything collapses back together. The Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument uses 5,000 fiber optic eyes to map the cosmos with unprecedented precision, capturing 15 million galaxies over 11 billion years of history. This has allowed astronomers to create the most detailed three-dimensional map of the universe to date. Professor Alexei Leuthard-Harnett from the University of California, Santa Cruz, expressed excitement about the potential discovery, stating, "We may be on the cusp of a major discovery about dark energy and the fundamental nature of our universe." While the results do not yet meet the 5 sigma threshold for statistical certainty required in physics, many scientists involved have shifted from skepticism to confident support for the findings. Professor Carlos Frank from the University of Durham highlighted the shift, saying, "We're witnessing the overthrow of the old paradigm and the emergence of a new paradigm." Despite the excitement, some scientists, like Professor George Evstathiou of the University of Cambridge, urge caution, noting that more data is needed for decisive evidence. If dark energy continues to decrease, it could lead to a reverse Big Bang scenario or Big Crunch. This potential change raises questions about the laws of physics and whether a crucial component is missing from our current understanding. Professor Ofer Lahav from University College London noted the complexity of the situation, stating, "For 20 years, we've been stuck with dark energy." Now, physicists have new questions.